Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Peace Family is 19 Keys. Thanks for listening to the High Level Audio Experience. Make sure to give 5 stars and subscribe. Also, support the brand and get tickets to our upcoming tour by visiting 19keys.com/links. That's numbers 19keys.com/links. Enjoy this clip and check out the full episode. Peace.
But if you find something that you love and you're not good at, then that means it can be a passion. It's never going to translate into something that you're going to be able to truly make money with.
So how you feel about Jaylen Brown and his mission when he's now looking to rebuild the Black Wall Street?
If you have a society who stops believing in God, then essentially what they're doing is they believing in the devil.
What tips and tricks have you learned about growing from beyond six figures and beyond? You dig what I mean?
I think number one is,
so everything going good, brother?
Things been all right, man. Things been all right. Can't complain. How about yourself?
Man, magnificent, man.
What would you say is like the biggest thing you took away so far from 2024?
This year started off with me needing an understanding that I needed to pace myself with things, because 2023, I burnt myself out, right? And I had to use the beginning of the year to slow down, right? To re-energize. But you realize, like, once you burn out, that can have effects for a while.
Mental, emotional, 100%. Physical, social-wise, yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, it's just that prioritization, you feel me, of your mind and your spirit, and never let those things, you know what I mean, diminish for anything else in the world, because that's your true value, that's your true treasure. You know what I mean? It may look like you're successful in some area because of financial advancements or right status or whatever it may be, but if it's at the sacrifice of your mind and your body, you're losing.
It's not worth it.
No, it's a loss.
Yeah.
So the goal is to take no losses, you feel me? So I'm at this point now, it's about keeping that mastery and that abundance in the three planes, the mental, spiritual, and physical.
Okay.
Because in that metaphysical reality is where you produce all your success anyway.
Okay.
You know, most shifts that people want in life are very small tweaks, and they are not in the physical world. They're in the mental plane. They're in the emotional plane. If you can outwardly change the way you feel every single day, you change exactly how you live and what you produce. So that mindfulness is important, because if you wake up in the morning and you don't feel good, you're not gonna produce nothing.
That's a fact.
You wake up in the morning and you want something. Sometimes you can want something so bad that you push it away.
You're right.
You gotta operate at such a frequency to where nothing is more important than you.
So you sound like the way you're talking, like you almost came to a level of peace in ways.
Hey, you know, peace is the frequency right next to enlightenment. I gotta be at peace. You can be at war with the world, but not at yourself.
Yeah.
And most people are at war with themselves.
That's a fact.
But the thing about peace is, I don't think most, we understand it as a concept, but many people haven't experienced it in depth.
I agree with you, though.
Because the more I experience different levels of peace, I realize how deprived I've been of it for so long.
You think it's deprived because of like the way you grew up, family, yourself,
America.
Cultural, America?
My experiences make me who I am, but they also deprive me of so much. Yeah. You know what I mean? There's levels of joy that I haven't reached yet. Levels of peace I haven't reached yet. Uh-huh. Levels of safety that I haven't reached yet as an idea for myself. So if those things are cut off from me, the rewards and the results that come with those things are also cut off from me.
Absolutely.
So, you know, you can be great in a very traumatic state.
Yes, I know a lot of people like
operating,
that.
Operating, you can operate in abundance with trauma.
Yes.
But outside of that, now imagine that life.
Uh-huh. It's interesting because I know a lot of people, actually including myself, that we became successful in a dark situation.
Right.
And then we use that as a drive and not realizing it's almost perpetuating different energies and emotions that we're not completely getting rid of.
Right.
And when you get rid of it, you don't even know who you are.
Right.
It's like a lack of self-identity now. It's like, damn, who am I? What do I do? Where do I go? How do I grow? So it's interesting you say that, man. Interesting you say that.
And you know, one of the beautiful things about Japan is the concept of the Ikigai, right?
Okay.
So it's all about finding your reason to be, you know what I mean? And there's a criteria and a framework for when to say they have their true purpose.
Okay.
So a lot of people, you find something that you love, right? But you find something that you love and you're not good at, then that means it can be a passion.
Yeah.
Right? But it's never going to translate into something that you're going to be able to truly make money with.
Facts.
So the goal is that you got to find something that you love, right? And you got to also find something you're good at.
You're
you
got to
find something that the world needs. Because something that you love and you're good at and the world needs becomes a mission.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And then when you also find something that can make you money, right? Then that's when you start to have you a purpose because it hits all of the marks needed for you to be able to live a life based on that.
The basic needs of life, yeah.
Right. But I can look at most people and they're missing one of the two. Mm-hmm. Most people don't enjoy what they do, but they can be good at it.
Yup.
Right? Some people love to do something they're not good at. It's just a hobby. Some people love to do things and the world needs it, and that's their mission, but they can't make money from it.
I've been really deep into like even personality tests and strength finder tests.
Oh, yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
I do dossiers.
Oh, dossiers?
A dossier is essentially a file. Like if the FBI was to write a file on you or the CIA,
They'll
put a full psychological profile on you. They'll get a breakdown of who you are. They will have all of the insights about your personality, weaknesses, strength, right? Your story, every single thing. So one of the things that I teach in High Level Club, and I've been teaching for the last 5-6 years, is about compiling a dossier on yourself. And within that, you take all of those self-assessment tests and you put those in there. So your intelligence type, personality type, psychological mapping, right? Every test that you can think together that may matter. Myers-Briggs, what it is, you feel me? So within that, now you got the ability to understand yourself. The same way they would if they put a foul on you.
Yeah.
And then you can utilize that, what's happening with the gods. And then you can utilize that information in a way to where when you get stuck on something, you know how to put yourself back in a position and direction.
Exactly. You know what I mean? It's like an audit. You talk about just auditing the hell out of yourself to really know yourself.
But also so you can optimize yourself.
Optimize yourself to the highest frequency.
Exactly.
Okay.
So how you feel about, and I love what he's doing. I know you connect with him. Jaylen Brown and his mission when he's now looking to rebuild the Black Wall Street. And I think y'all connected because he started in Oakland, didn't he start? I could have sworn he started.
Yeah, he did something with Jason Kidd in Oakland.
It's fire. Starting in Oakland, now he's bringing it to Boston. Do you think that should be the mission of people that have a platform like, yo, we got to rebuild the whole entire community? You think we all have a responsibility of that?
I believe that wealth, power, right, justice, anything that we want to see as an improvement in our society and culture is a collective responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And that the people that play their part, man, are doing exactly that. They're doing God's work.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? And it got to be respected. And when you see it, you got to join in.
Yeah.
You feel me? I think that's the whole thing. It's like everybody don't have to do their own individual thing, but we should all collectively empower those who are doing it. But I 100% believe it's a collective responsibility. It got to be more group thinking versus individual thinking. I was thinking about that earlier. You ever seen a movie, they show the future, and it's like this utopian future. You never see individualism ever.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Right? You come to any place and you can see how broken that place is and fractured that place is by how individualism is. Because if there's no group thinking, then it has to be, because everybody has these worlds competing against each other. There can be 20% of the people that want peace, 10% of the people like anarchy. You know what I mean? Other people could believe in whatever ideas and systems that they think are best. It has to be more cohesive as far as the people having same to similar belief systems in order to create alignment.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's one of the things within our culture, is that it shouldn't be outliers and individuals like Jaylen Brown that do it. It should be a collective responsibility of all of us that come from a broken culture.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like you come from a broken home, you want to repair the next generation. We come from a broken culture. We got to prepare for the next generation.
Nah, I feel you on that. I feel you on that.
So everything he's doing, I respect and salute it 1,000%. That's why I'm out here.
I love it. I was actually watching his interview with Stephen A the other day. I'm like, yo, let's respect how we went about it.
Yeah.
One thing I think that's plaguing the black community that we don't talk about enough is like spiritual abuse that we're going through, right? And religious abuse. I don't even want to say spiritual. I think more religious abuse. And I love what you talk about is very individualism that's messing us up, and also tribalism, right? If you really think about it. I wonder, like, my dream is to see an interview with Louis Farrakhan, who I love, and T.D. Jakes, right? I think not even just the conversation will be powerful, it's just the symbolism behind both of them coming together could be powerful, but God knows whatever reason why, you know, something like that wouldn't happen. How do you feel like the lack of spiritual knowledge has been plaguing us as a community for not really excelling and growing to the capacity we can?
Well, you know, it's a good question, because if you have a society who stops believing in God, then essentially what they doing is they believing in the devil. Because absence of God is the devil, right? That's what it is. Like, people act like absence of belief in God is just space. No, it's the devil. And why? Because of what God represents as an idea, right? Is keeping you on target to your nature, which is uprightness. You understand me? And so when we get a culture that has been successfully demoralized, then God is no longer at the center of that culture, right? Or the center of that society. And our culture and larger society is where that is right now. God is not at the center. The supreme being is not there. Because people may want to blame religion, but it's not religion. It's actually people's practices away from religion that has society where it is today. Society was better when religion had a grip on it than it is today.
That's a fact.
Right? Because now everybody's in their own individual bubble, putting themselves at the center instead of God being at the center, doing whatever they will. Do what thou wilt comes from, you know, devil, occult, Satanist, occultist, right? In their belief system. Do whatever thou wilt. Right? So for me, when I look at society, I can tell that we ain't going no further, man. We ain't build nothing up until we get that back.
Yeah,
and, you feel me?
And the way you described it is very similar to, like, even when science says, they said darkness is even real. Darkness is absence of light.
Yeah.
Like you said, the devil is an absence. I mean, the devil is just absence of God.
Exactly.
You know, so and there's a lot of similarities of it.
And when you know God, I'm talking about know God, like, from within. You know what I mean? It's a different compass that you have. Because religion was essentially made for to be man's, to explain man's connection to the divine, his higher self. So people over vilify religion when it's really institutions, right, that get the rap. Like, if you're talking about the church, like the Catholic Church,
primary
church of pedophiles, but we in society act like that's not an enemy of ours. We say terrorism is a bigger enemy than fucking pedophiles that are messing with little children. But
that's,
think about the moral turpitude of that. Like, we can't wrap our minds around going against an institution who houses tens of thousands of pedophiles, right? But we somehow have this moral compass to where we can find other enemies that we think are bigger and is a greater threat and fight. Hell no.
So,
I mean, and we in political season, so you see the contradiction and hypocritical reality that exists. I ain't heard God in none of those speeches.
None. And I
like my biggest thing, especially with my man at the back, D4, what we talk a lot about is, I think the issue is not only economic development in the black and brown culture, of course, but a lack of leaders in the black and brown culture, right? Because if you own, because we don't own the media per se, because we don't own space, so many times the true values of what we believe or what the issues are not being heard and seen, and it's just being projected on us per se, and now we think this is reality.
I don't think there's a lack of leaders. I think there's a lot of leaders.
Go ahead.
I can think about, if I think about almost every leader that existed in the past, I can see a representation of that in the present, of somebody that I know or know of.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Right? The problem, like you said, though, is media. We don't have representation and we don't control that representation. Mm-hmm. See, it was a little different. We look at leadership from a perspective of the past. We learn about what people in the past have done at different points in time. But it's not to say that those same people had support during their time. Everybody didn't look at them as a leader.
Facts.
The people that were literally within their organization that they touched did, mm-hmm. right? And then white supremacy was so obvious in the way that they had to fight it, because white media will villainize those people.
Absolutely.
And then black people was like, oh, those are the people that's being villainized?
Yeah.
But the church didn't accept the revolutionaries.
Nope.
You know what I'm saying? The bourgeoisie class wasn't looking at them as leaders, mm-hmm. right? There's always number one been this division. The Fred Hamptons wasn't supported by everybody. The Huey P. Newtons wasn't supported. Malcolm X was hated while he was alive, mm-hmm. right? There's all of these nuances when you look at it. So I look at, and I can see a representation of all of those. It's just not as obvious to people because we're not reading about the assassination in the book.
So even when you're talking about the media, then is that why? Because it seems like the last couple of years you have grown tremendously due to even your marketing, branding on social media. Is that why you take it so serious?
100%. It's an opportunity, man. How are we gonna miss this? Malcolm X, what he did, he utilized media. It's like people villainize social media. It's just an improvement, right, of a technology to where you can convey your messages. But right. The thing is democratized access where everybody has the ability to do it. But some people take it serious and they do it very well for a cause and a purpose,
mm-hmm.
right? When Malcolm X created the Muhammad Speaks newspaper, it was so that he can help control the narrative, right, against the propaganda that was being pushed against him. When Minister Louis Farrakhan had the final call, same thing, right? When Frederick Douglass did the North Star, right? When Frederick Douglass did his, Nobuhiro Ali did his, every great leader had their own media, right? We such a hateful, like a really hating ass people sometimes, because all of this is just generation using resources that exist in their time.
Okay.
Right? So we may call somebody an influencer or use the word social media almost, right, to take a dig at them as if it's lesser than. You feel me? But it's like, no, it's just a modern tool that we have that we can utilize and advocate for ourselves.
Yeah.
So yeah, I take the science of it serious because in one way, the media is the most powerful unelected group in America, mm-hmm. right? And they've been having so much control over our image specifically.
Yeah.
How we're shown. Jewish media decides how black people are shown. White media decides how black media and how mm-hmm. black people are shown. That means they decide how we feel about ourselves.
That's a fact.
Because what we see in imagery produces an attitude, mm-hmm. right? That attitude creates this predisposition of how we feel about something. So now we got an attitude towards ourselves. We have an attitude towards black women and black men and black progress and black excellence and Diddy with oil. You know what I'm saying? All kind of shit. As much as they show villainizing black men, they will never show, right, great black men and giving them praise.
Yeah.
I seen an article came out about Jaylen Brown. Man, through one birthday party, and the title was, Jaylen Brown is spending his $305 million check to throw parties or something like that.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
I didn't even see that shit.
There's some real hate that shit right
here.
It's
crazy.
First of all, the man can't enjoy his birthday? Goddamn. He didn't spend $305 million on it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But it's a birthday party. Who
but
cares?
That's the media.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
That's the media.
It's just
on purpose.
Narrative. Yeah.
But also, there's no integrity in the media because we don't know the difference between when there's salacious, when something is a hit piece, when it's a gossip. Right, we can't determine that difference because there's no journalistic integrity.
There isn't.
So if we're going to do media, then we need to start having codes of ethics on what we require as journalistic integrity. Otherwise, a society can't build and grow unless it has a foundation of collective integrity.
And the society itself to intake that information. We got AI now.
Yeah, that's right. So
now things are just getting manipulated. You don't know if it's real.
You don't even know if it's real. No, no, it's crazy. One of the best books I ever read on media was by Ryan Holiday, True Confessions of a Media Manipulator. Mm. Right? And he used to talk about how he used to do PR, and he broke down the business of media because people forget it's a business.
It's a business.
Their business is to get you to click on it. If they're going to click on it, they're going to sensationalize certain titles, like, so you can click on it to create a narrative to make you believe it and you continue to go on it.
And now that's what creators are doing, because everybody now has media, but nobody has integrity.
Facts.
So you can just, right now I can make up something about you, and then anybody who wants to believe it will believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you go and correct it, the people that, there's more people a lot of times gonna look at something negative than they will positive.
Absolutely.
Right? So
it's
therefore,
how frames are structured.
They're not going to go around spreading the correction, but they will spread the gossip.
They will.
So at this point, I don't believe nothing I see in the internet.
That book made me realize they taught one of the greatest gems is that people are more prone to share what shocks them and what pisses them off,
mm-hmm,
versus good news.
Right.
So, and they use actually Donald Trump as an example in 2016, right? He did a whole bunch of shocking things that got his message free marketing.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Across the board, right, in comparison to any other candidate. You know what I'm saying?
And it's funny because they tried to do that with Minister Farrakhan after the Million Man March, but he got a saying, every knock is a boost. So what they found out is that every time they even put him in the media, it grew his following, it swelled everything that he did.
Yeah.
And they was just like, let's do a media blackout on him instead. You know what I mean?
And just take him out.
Yeah,
the
they completely put a blackout on him after the Million Man March. He was too goddamn powerful.
Some of like the later questions I wanted to ask was specifically about business and business development, right? I'm looking myself, thank God, like I was able to build like a six-figure business on just words, and specifically, like you said, adding value on the mental health side of things. It's very rare for a black man to talk about mental health and provide programs around it. So I'm loving it. So now I'm looking at like, how the hell do I scale it to 7, 8, and more? You get what I'm saying?
And I'm watching how your brand was able to grow and scale in the last, what, 5 years per se, you get what I mean? And I love it. And I wanted to ask you, like, what were some of the basic tips you got in terms of being able to scale your business? Or were there certain traps when you realize, you know, scaling too fast is a problem at times for a business owner? You might not be able to take in all the requests and things like that if your processes and automations are not in place. Like, what tips and tricks have you learned about growing from beyond six figures and beyond? You dig what I mean?
I think number one is you got to prepare to scale. Like, when it comes to organic marketing, branding, development, we do everything based on that minimal viable product of what the market actually wants. Mm-hmm. And the market will tell you when it's time. And sometimes you can dictate that based on your own preparation, but that scaling usually comes from the right team. You know what I'm saying? More important than anything, a lot of businesses can't afford to buy the right talent.
Yeah.
Right? When you get the right team, you're ready to scale for sure.
Yeah.
Now, when you get your processes in order and you can automate whatever you're doing, then of course you're ready to scale as well.
Yeah.
So for me, I take my time with things because some people I see go all the way up and then that comes.
They crash real quick.
Because you also, when you go up too fast, you don't have the experience, right, of how to maintain that. Mm-hmm. So it don't come along with stability. You feel me? So for me, I want to make sure that there's stability in the level that I'm at. So then I'm prepared to go to that next level.
Okay.
Right? So if I got this mastered and this is easy, then it lets me know that, okay, now it's time for me to go to the next level. Not just because I want to, but because I mastered the level that I'm at. And most people, they haven't mastered where they yet. They barely hanging on to this. And they like, oh, I think scale is my problem. No, it's not.
Yeah.
Right? I think master your level you at and have stability. And how do you know you mastered that? That shit should be able to run automated without you. Once that level is running automated without you, now it's time for you to be able to scale that operation. But you got to make sure that it is scalable at the same time.
So when you talk about automations, now that's where you get into the technology talk, right?
Yeah, technology, but it's not even, before you even think about it in a technology sense, right? You're thinking about whatever you're doing, how can you consistently get others the same results?
Yeah.
Right? So if you a coach, right? And, you know, you, or it really don't even matter if you're a coach, regardless if you teach somebody anything.
Yeah.
And you have the experience. What you would do is you would sit down with somebody, you do a one-on-one like I'm doing, mm-hmm. right? The way you asked me that question, I would then take that and then I would record a video, mm-hmm. right? Explaining and giving clarity to that question.
And why you asked the question, all that.
No, but the reason is because if you ask it, then there's other entrepreneurs that need that same exact answer.
Yeah.
So that lets me know that this is a process. Somebody will sit down with me and they want to learn something, let's say specifically scaling a business, I would take all of the questions from all of the one-on-ones and then I'll do a video, right, explaining that. So then that becomes my scalability because it's automated.
Yeah.
And then what I would do on side of that is I set it up in a way to where I can answer any questions outside of what I already automated. So therefore everybody getting the same results.
Yeah.
Right? So when it's repeatable, then it's scalable. Right? Mm-hmm. So for me, that's the way I look at it. Like, I'm about to do a communication masterclass. It's teaching people how to communicate. That's my number one most requested thing that I haven't taught.
Like public speaking communication or just?
Well, overall, public speaking, how you, it's, and then I'm gonna do it in different ways, right? So, first of all, how do you gain the confidence, right? So, to be able to speak with clarity and passion.
Yeah.
Right? Most people don't know how to do that. But then also, how do you speak in a sense to where you know how to sell? How do you position a product? Yeah. What is messaging?
Yeah.
Most people don't know how to network, right? How do you gain that confidence to get over that fear? But then when it comes to speaking on stage, how do you prepare yourself for a lecture, right? Mm-hmm. To be able to speak. Speaking is the number one skill set that allow people to be able to scale their life. Because scale sometimes is not, you know, vertical in the way that people looking at it, it's horizontal. It may be this thing, you need to scale in your relationships. Mm-hmm. Those relationships provide opportunities, right? Then you may need to scale in your operations. In your operations, when you want to scale, that means you got everything automated in the sense that if you wanted to sell your business, you can hand over a manual on how to do everything.
Yep.
Right? So regardless of who comes in place, then they can be able to manage the ship.
So when we say automated, we talking about a chain of instructions and mechanisms that happen automatically in place and that are triggered. It becomes a funnel. When we talking about automation and technology, we talking about implementing things that make whatever process you have more efficient, which saves you time and money.
I get what you mean.
So the AI seemed like the sexy thing, but the thing is more so is just understanding your processes and having those triggered in place to where that can be repeated over and over and over. Because you want to scale and you want to be somebody that teaches. Because people always make fun of people who do courses, like, if I'm making $50,000 a month, why would I teach it? And it's like, why wouldn't you?
I hate what people
say. You know what I'm saying? But only people who are not making that kind of money say that.
Yeah, I get
right? Because if they were, then they realize that's the next level of scaling.
Exactly.
Right? Once you learn something, you teach it.
You teach it to others.
Because that means that your skill set is transferable. When you can't teach it, other people can get the same results, and it is scalable because it becomes evergreen. Right? That just makes sense.
It does. It's actually the last pyramid in like AA meetings, right? When you're going through recovery, they say the last step, and if you don't do the step, you tend to recover. I mean, you won't have your recovery, is actually being able to teach other people.
And you know why? Because once you master something, or you think you've mastered something and you teach it, that's the way you learn again. Because learning how to teach something is a whole learning experience for masters.
Yeah.
Because they learn how to learn it for themselves and they learn how to do it. Because when you teach something that you've mastered, you then have to learn how to get those ideas so that the student can learn it as well. Right? So the curse of knowledge is only being able to teach from your perspective, not being able to simplify it. One of the greatest, it's funny, one of the greatest compliments I get is also one of the greatest criticisms I get sometimes, is that I make things very simple. Right? Because some people think that it's this thing that people, when you make something complicated and you use big words, right, and you break it down in a certain way, it makes other people feel that you're smart. But it doesn't make you smarter because it's not simple enough for you to learn.
Exactly.
So one of my greatest skill sets is always taking complicated things and making them simple.
That is right? A skill.
If you ever look at the Buddhist teachings, everything is very wise, but very simple. It's not the what, it's the how they said it in a way that then created change in your mind when you heard it.
Yeah.
Because he's telling you the exact same lesson about peace, about prosperity, about joy, about enlightenment. But it's said in an analogy that you can tell had to be fermented for a long time.
I get what you mean.
Right? That if you're not someone sitting and reflecting for hours and hours, this thought doesn't come to you.
Like speaking in parables and ways.
So that's how they speak, where you are able to add so much wisdom into so little, into a small kernel.
Yeah.
You feel me? Like, that's the goal. The goal ain't, I got to spend 3 hours and break something down so you understand I have a grasp on the information of it, right? But am I wise enough to be able to give it to you so you understand the why? And that invigorates you to go on a lifelong journey of mastering it yourself.
Yep.
It's different.
Yep. It is different. That was good right there. That was good.
No, I've been learning. I know people like panels. Panels are cool sometimes, but it don't allow the audience to get the full value of each guest.
I agree with you.
Right? If anything, it's better to have maybe three people, right? Because then it allows that person to be able to go a little more in depth and give value. And then it allows that Q&A session to happen between that crowd to where they're taking home something that they directly got, right? And for me, I like even at this point, cutting down the amount of speakers completely, right?
To
having it more minimum. Yeah, because you can sometimes dilute the value of the guest by having too many people.
I agree.
Right? Where it's like one person may be able to pack an entire room by themselves, but when you put them amongst 20 people, right? You, number one, you know it's not their event, so you're not, you know, you're not about to get that much value. So you can't really dig into their audience, right? But when it's just a conversation between, let's say, you and Wall Street Trapper, everybody that would have came for a Wall Street Trapper event is now going to come because they know it's just you and Wall Street Trapper.
Yeah, I go.
So essentially, you know, when you do that, you want to make sure that you can really extrapolate the value. And then it's how those people market it as well. You got to tell people how to market your event to get the most value out of it. Because each time the value of marketing with somebody else's platform is that they will, that you can be discovered by their audience, right? That's the whole point of marketing, is to get in front of audience that you normally can't get. But you got to make sure that that's added. And that's why cutting down the amount of speakers allow you to increase that budget for when you do partner with that speaker to be like, look, I want you to be able to post here. I need you to say something during your podcast, right? I need you to say something on the story or let's do a live. So therefore, instead of having five people on stage and then you got to split that budget between five, and it doesn't allow those people to be able to go hard as they would when they're getting paid for a higher tier event, to say, I'm gonna decrease it, right, by two-thirds, and then I'm gonna increase the budget that I give to you all so that you can do more and I get more value.
Yeah, that was a bar right there.
Yes, sir.
No, that was a bar right there. I appreciate that.
Most of the people that build funnels, they're not the ones that's actually good at it. It's the person that they work with that is good.
Because of the information.
Right. So a lot of people, sometimes the funnel guys will be like, I helped this person make $1 million, but you didn't help the other client do it.
Yeah.
Right? Why? Because it wasn't you. It was that client and how they were giving you a breakdown of how they want you to design it. Mm. Right? And break it down. Mm. So I would study something like Russell Brunson books and things of that nature first.
I just finished this book.
Go through all of that.
Finished it.
I'll let you know what we use on the back end of all our systems, right? What works for us. So therefore, even when you're dealing with the funnel guys that just say a lot of bullshit, you know what I mean? You gotta be careful because that's their way of selling. Because you're now in their funnel.
Yeah, I'm now in their funnel.
So I just say educate yourself first because you always got to pay for your ignorance.
Man, I took Russell Brunson's class. I took one of his books. I just read one of his books because you're just trying to get the language of, wait a second, what's the real meaning? What's the value of it? The positioning of it? Because
you got to originate it in your own essence. Because there's some people that can, I can't use it in the way he uses it, right? There's some people that can do that evergreen super selling. I can't do it like that at all. Some people are willing to follow that roadmap and it gets really corny. And that's what people, that's only about money. You know what I'm saying? So when you do it, then you got to kind of reflect on it, like, what would be the way I would have done it, right? From my perspective, it's going to be more organic and it's going to come out better to the consumer.
I like that. That was value right there, bro. I appreciate that for real.
I feel like I got my money's worth. That right there, that was a gem right there.
Well, you know, you gotta ask the right question.
It's all about the right question.
The funny thing about coaching, consultation, mentorship, it's always about the question. The question is purely the value. Most of it is trying to get to what's the right question to ask.
Yeah.
Because you meet, it's about anybody you can meet. If you ask them the right question, you can get something out of them that's so valuable, you can probably make millions off of it.
Make millions.
Like what you just said about the summit, cutting down the speaker to expand the marketing and reach. That shit, that shit would have took the brand to a whole nother level.
100%.
Yeah.
This is the foundation to understand your journey into cryptocurrency. You want to be prepared for the future. And although you can make a lot of money in crypto, you can actually lose a lot as well. If you're getting in just for FOMO, you don't have a strategy, you're just gambling. This is one of my favorite strategies. But we're in that time where anybody can create their own money and their own economy. That means the corporations and even the banks and the governments themselves are actually jumping into it. This is that time now where you get prepared. You will have the tools to be able to go do this research on your own, find coins on your own, and understand crypto in a way that the big boys do right now. The game is here and it's real. And if you don't play in it, then you're going to be on the sidelines watching everybody else score. And I believe that this is why it's one of the most exciting times in history. If you're smart and you playing the game.
Unlock infinite wealth strategies at highlevel.19keys.com/IWS.
What are you really running from? That war that you think you're fighting ain't the real war. There are many wars that we go in different dimensions within self. The real wars are the inner world. It's the self wars. Society has been programming us, shaping our very perceptions of reality itself. one that we did not choose, but one we must take over. There's no more waiting. Now is the time, because it's now or never. Now or never.
Open up your mind's eye to see reality the way that it is, not the way that you've been sold. Understand that you are one of the ones that have been chosen if you just choose yourself. Become your own solutions to every problem and every complaint, every excuse and every blockade that's been in your way. Vision gives one direction. When you're blind, you can never give yourself direction. So you fall. Instead of falling, stand up. Utilize the self-giving and governing power that you have within yourself to become a high-level observer. Not controlled by what you see, but one that controls what they see. That defines the meaning in their reality through every synchronicity that they come across. A divinely guided man and woman. High level forever.
Stomach in, chest out, head up. How you teach a generation that don't know they self? How do you give them the ability to be able to control the world? Not from an external point, but from an internal point. How do you teach them that the greatest enemy that they have ain't racism, ain't classism, ain't fascism, ain't poverty? No, it's the enemy that exists within. It's the self war, the thought war that you go on a daily basis. How do you equip them with the tools to be able to win that war? You have to show them who they are so that they can customize their universe. We look at the technology and people talking that's the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast is when you have a beast-like mind and don't have the ability to be able to control your nature. That's when we no longer operate from a soul place of morals and values and principles and vision and vision. But we can name our entertainment every single day because we're distracted with escapism, because it's too hard to deal with the emotions that's required to heal yourself from the trauma. How do you teach them to be able to encompass everything that they want to be, to take thoughts outside of their mind and see it in reality and not be satisfied with mediocrity? You have to give them the militants of discipline. You have to give them the rules of order. You have to show them the possibility in your own actions. You have to be courageous every single day, even if you don't want to do it. You do it because you have to. They've destroyed us, made us a desire-based society, always falling to the whims of your emotion without control of your mind. When you teach, and you elevate, and you lead, and you encompass everything that you are on a daily basis, and you operate with that God mind, then you live above society, and you become one of the rulers and not one of the ruled. That's the highest level. Go in your mind, design the world, execute it. Deal with your family, take your wealth, take your power, and quit waiting. Because ain't nobody gonna save you. You gotta save yourself.
The world may question you, but never question yourself. One thing for sure, the light always comes with darkness. Same thing that make you successful, be the same thing that break you. If you don't have self-awareness, this will be the thing that destroys you. But if you know yourself, everything is meant to make you stronger. Nothing can break you down. In the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, every knock is a boost.
Peace Family is 19 Keys. Thanks for listening to the High Level Audio Experience. Make sure to give 5 stars and subscribe. Also, support the brand and get tickets to our upcoming tour by visiting 19keys.com/links. That's numbers 19keys.com/links. Enjoy this clip and check out the full episode. Peace.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge. Trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Now taxes is 100% free when you file in the TurboTax app if you didn't file with us last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Just do your own taxes in the app by 2/18.
What if I have lots of forms?
All good. All 100% free.
What if I had three jobs?
Still 100% free.
What if I once saw Bigfoot?
That has nothing to do with taxes, so still 100% free.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Now this is taxes. See if you qualify in the TurboTax app. Excludes TurboTax Live. Must start and file in app by 2/18.